Skulk is going to bring the word this morning. He's going to preach. And so, come, can we pray for him as before he does? And let's trust that we're going to get encouraged as God speaks through him. So, Lord, thank you for this man that you are raising up in this house. Thank you for his voice, that it's your voice through him today, that it would be your words through his words. It would be your heart being communicated through what he shares, Lord God. And we want to have ears to hear, and we want to have a spirit of revelation, that spirit of God, you would teach us, even as he preaches and ministers. This morning we ask you in your name. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to pray again, if that is fine. Just quickly, just close our eyes again. Father, we want to declare this morning, Jesus, Lord, would you come and have your inheritance in us this morning, Jesus. God, I pray for our hearts to step into that which you've called us to step into, Lord. I pray for every heart in this place, God, to see you accurately, Lord. To see you, Father, as you've designed us to behold and see you, God. Father, you're deserving of a people that love you. God, you're deserving of the people that just pour out their hearts on you. Father, you're deserving of the people, Lord. God, and may we be that people in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to be that people, God. And this morning we say yes. We say yes. We say yes. We say yes, Jesus. We say yes to this thing. I pray, God, for every heart in this place then that maybe feels that they are far off to this very calling. God, and I speak to those hearts and we say, come near. Come into this very thing that you've been created for. Jesus, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you, Jesus. We love you, we love you. Just in your own words, just where you are, just tell him you love him. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we set our hearts on you, God. We set our minds on you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. Just say it again. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good morning. It is such a privilege to share with you this morning, and I actually have such a sense of just, you know, what I prayed now, almost like there's this inheritance that God is deserving of, and all of us sitting here this morning, I don't, you know, we're all in different places, and I know there's some of you sitting here this morning, and you feel far off, and there's some of us sitting here, and you've been walking with the Lord maybe for years, but this very thing that the Lord is deserving of a people, which is you and I, it's you and I this morning, it's no one else, it's you and I, that we will walk and step into that very thing that God has called us to be. And I want to share this morning. I actually prepared on something 3 weeks ago. Maurice asked me if I would preach this Sunday. And I started thinking, and I prepared in a certain direction. But I felt like halfway in the second week that I'm not saying I'm preparing for 3 weeks to preach. I'm not, but there's a thinking process in my head. And in the second week, as I thought I'm going to go in this direction, I felt the Lord just doing something in my heart that I actually felt. It's not just for me, but it's for us this morning. And it also connects with what Sean shared on last week. And he was here last Sunday. He spoke about, Sean, I hope I get this right. But God being the giver of faith, you know. And we are called to be a people of faith, but he mentioned and he quickly touched on it while he spoke last Sunday, and he mentioned and shared a bit of his journey when it comes to the Father heart of God. And when he shared that specific story, it felt to me there was something on that, and I felt like this morning God wants to come and actually speak to us concerning the Father heart of God. Now, if you're taking notes and you want to have a title, and it's not that I'm into titles and all those things, but you can call it the ring, the robe, and the sandals. The ring, the robe. Sorry, what did I say? The ring, the robe, and it sounds like a Narnia novel, yes. Narnia, the ring, the robe, and the sandals. Okay. I want to, this morning, speaking about the Father heart of God, it's always like, you know, sometimes you come and say you want to share from this perspective, but I'm not necessarily qualified as a physical father this morning standing here. I know there's some of you, you've been on the, you know, you've been a father for so many years, and the father heart is just so part of you because that's what you do. You have children. But at this moment, I'm not a physical father. But one thing that does qualify me, and I quickly will qualify in the sense of my the journey that I walk through with the Lord, is very, very, very close to this concept of the Father heart of God. And I want to just quickly give you a bit of a background. Some of you know, my father died when I was 1 year old. So my brother and I and my mom, we had this journey without a dad in the house for many years. It was 16 to 17 years before my mom married again. And she was such a hero in that time. I mean, she had to step into shoes. Like, we were two difficult boys, my brother and I. He's 4 years older than me. But we were, the only way to say it, we were stout, you know. And she had her hands full with us. But she, in that time, she had to fulfill this mothering role, but also fathering role, you know. And she did her best. But I realized, specifically when I was 13 years old, I realized, yo, but there's such a gap in my heart in certain areas when I looked at people around me. And specifically, there was something of just a fear of rejection that I grew up with because of this very thing, growing up without a father. I would self-sabotage friendships. What I mean with that is, before I go into a friendship, this thing in me would be almost like, you know, I would come from the position that you are going to reject me. So I would go into that friendship with that perspective. And obviously what happens in the end, I push them away. And that was my life. I grew up like that. And I soon realized, and when I was 13 years old, that, yo, there's a deep longing in me to know my father. This longing never disappeared. We went on for so many years. I actually thought at a time it's going to become easier, but it didn't. I want to say this morning, you and I, we were created with this longing in us. We are created with this desire in us for intimacy. More, we are also created with this desire in us for fathering. And this desperation in me, like, I want to know my dad, led me, and there's many things I can share around that, but just for the sake of time this morning, led me to this place of crying out to God. And he revealed himself to me on the age of 13, a little skulky. He revealed to me the Father heart of God, and I was never the same. He didn't change me immediately. It didn't suddenly, at that moment, fill all my gaps and I was perfect skulk. No, it started a journey of realignment. There were so many lies that I cling to. And as I walked with the Lord, I realized, oh, this thing in my heart. I allowed this lie to grow in my heart. And I had to cling to the truth of Father God. And this morning, I am trusting for a similar realignment to the truth of the Father heart of God. Okay? For each one of us this morning. I want to, you can react in two ways this morning. And I want to share a story to connect with this. And I think some of you have actually heard this story, but I've thought of many stories, and this is the only one I could get then. Brings over my point. I was in Russia on an outreach four years ago. and when I went there, there's Carl that led the Bible school three years ago. I sound so old, many years ago. But he told me a story about this painting in a museum in Russia of the prodigal son that was basically, it was painted by Rembrandt, very famous painting, and it's in this museum in Russia. And in that time, I've been on this journey of discovering the Father's heart, and I really wanted to see this painting because he spoke about it like it's so beautiful, all those things. I even went and Googled it. And to be honest, when I saw the picture, I was like, you know, this is not my type of art, but still would be a nice experience. And I remember that day in Russia, we went to the museum, we stood in the queue, and it took us almost an hour to find this painting. Now, in that time in Russia, the Lord was really busy with my heart. There was, going on outreach, there were certain lies that started coming out of my heart again that I realized, oh, I need to realign myself to the truth and the Father's heart. And that moment, we looked for an hour, and I found this painting, and it was beautiful. But as I walked there, I could feel there's something that the Lord is doing in my heart. And I stood in front of that painting, and I didn't just see the prodigal son, but I felt like I saw part of me there. And I had 30 minutes of standing there and just receiving the love of God and having an encounter with the Lord. But next to me, while I was standing there looking at this painting, there were Chinese tourists, specifically in Russia, a lot of Chinese tourists. And they have their cameras, and they go to every painting, and they take like a million of photos. So it's like, and they go on to the next one, and they go on to the next one. I have no idea what they're going to do with a photo of a painting. But they take a lot of photos. And I remember that moment, standing there, I'm looking at the painting. Next to me, the Chinese tourists come, and they're like, and I looked at them, and I suddenly felt a compassion in my heart because I was seeing the situation. Here I'm standing, beholding this picture of a father embracing the son. And for me, it represents an invitation. And for them, it's just a beautiful picture. And this morning, you can react in one of those two ways. You can open your heart, and we can trust this morning that what I'm going to tell you would not be just secondhand revelation. Like, it's not just going to be a story via Skalk and Ach, it's so cute, and let's go on. That we would truly, hopefully, this morning you will feel provoked to go and seek the Lord for yourself. Or you can be a tourist. You can take the photo, you can have the memory, you can even have the notes. You can look through it and say, oh, cute, shame. I didn't have a life like that, you know, or whatever, shame. God is inviting each one of us this morning. I want to jump in, and we're actually just going to look at two pieces of scripture this morning. And I'm believing just for a time of ministry. But I want to quickly just mention this. When we use the word father, and I work at a public high school in Paul, and I see a lot of youth, like we do counseling in the week, and we see a lot of people in the school system and a lot of teenagers. And I can actually say that 90% of the cases, not all of them, 90% of the cases that appear in front of us can usually be pinpointed back to the relationship with the Father. Almost 90% of what we see. And I realized there, dealing with them, I realized when, you know, you can speak about Jesus, and they love Jesus. They've heard the story of Jesus since, through primary school. They hear it from their parents. I can tell them Jesus loves them, and they will be, yes, you know, and Jesus saved you, yes. But I say, if I use the word father, they start become uncomfortable. As soon as I say that, you know, like, Father God, you could see something in them. It's like, I'm not sure if I want that. And this morning, there's maybe some of you, if I use the word father, I'm sure there's very pleasant experiences, maybe of growing up. You had a wonderful father, but there's some of you, maybe, when I use the word father, the memories is not so pleasant. But I want to say this morning, like, we cannot actually separate Jesus and Father God this morning. Jesus came to this earth. Every deed that he did, every word that he spoke was a representation of the heart of the Father. He didn't do anything out of himself. There's no way in the Word of God that we can pinpoint and say when Jesus did that, it wasn't a representation of God. Everything he said and did was a representation of the Father. There's even a scripture. Most of you know, John 14. You can quickly go to John 14, verse 8 to 11. I'm going to read to you. You know, now we're speaking about Father, and maybe some of you, even you've been journeying with the Lord for so many years, but if I say Father, maybe you have the same sentiment as what Philip had. And I'm going to read it to you. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. I think there's another verse. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. This morning I want to tell you, if we look at Jesus, we see the Father. As we get to know Jesus, as Jesus is revealed to us, as we see the saving grace, as we see the mercy, as we see the goodness, all these things represent the heart of the Father to us this morning. It's not a separate thing. We're not having a relationship with Jesus separate. And you know, sometimes I don't like that part. It's all of it on not all of it. It's one of the two. Okay. And this morning I want to say the cross and the resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate display of the Father heart of God. There's nothing else outside of that. If you want a word from the Lord this morning, if you want to know whether you're loved or not, look at the cross. Look at the resurrection. It speaks about it. Final claw. That is the heart of the Father towards us. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to look away. You don't have to wonder whether you're loved or accepted. Whether He desires you this morning. Whether there is relationship for you or not. There is. The cross and the resurrection testifies of it. Sorry, ik spoeg op je. If you had shampoo, it would have been safe water. Okay, the prodigal son. I'm just going to look at this piece of scripture this morning, and then we're going to give some context, and then it's literally the last thing I want to look at this morning, and it's Luke 15. All of us know this story so well. We grew up with it. It's been told to us in so many ways. I remember being in preschool. Even they doing a play of the prodigal son, you know, and all these things, and bringing pigs to the preschool, you know. You're like, okay, I don't want to end up there. all those things. And yet, it's for me one of the richest parables that we often just read through and we don't see the invitation in the midst of it for our hearts. And I want us to look at it quickly, and I want to just give a quick context. Jesus actually, it's a third parable in the row of three. There's actually three stories that the Lord is telling in Luke 15. It's not something that He told separate from the other two, but we're just going to look at the prodigal son. I want to give you context, and I want us to look at verse 1 quickly. Well, verse 1 basically tells us who was Jesus speaking to. He was speaking to the tax collectors and sinners and the Pharisees. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Him, to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." We have these two groups of people that Jesus was speaking to. I want you to keep this in mind when you go through the prodigal son story. He was speaking to sinners. Tax collectors, in those times, people that were truly far from God, okay? And then He spoke to a religious group of people called the Pharisees. They had knowledge of the law of God. They had all the knowledge in the world. They were keeping all these laws. And He was speaking to these two groups of people. Keep that in mind. And I want us to go and look at from verse 11 in the prodigal son. And I'm going to read a little bit, then I'm going to stop, read a little bit, and then I'm going to stop. From verse 11 to 12. And He said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them." Now I want to mention quickly, we often read this and we hear it, but I want you to give you a little bit of background here. Is when, for a son, specifically a younger son, in that context, to go to his father and say, give me my inheritance, is almost like saying, "I wish you were dead." It was quite a disrespectful thing to do in that culture. Not just towards the father, but even the community that they were living in. The community usually had very high standards. So doing that, saying, "You know, I want my inheritance," it's quite a disrespectful thing. And in that time, when the father died and the inheritance was given out, the older brother usually received a double portion and the younger brother, obviously not a double portion. So in this instance, the older brother would have received 2/3 and the younger brother only 1/3. So he asked for his inheritance. asked his father, can I please give it? And you know what is for me quite astounding of this, specifically this part. Him asking that, the father had all his right to send that son away and tell him, you coming in here and asking me for your inheritance, I'm going to send you to a rock concert where they throw you with rocks. Yet more than he had the right to do that. He had the right to send that son away. But yet for some reason, this father still gave the inheritance. You know, also interesting, your wealth was connected usually in that time to property. Okay, it's still actually. But your identity and your property was quite intertwined. So the more property you had, the more well-standing in the community you had. You understand? And for to ask the father for the inheritance, it, you know, some commentaries actually said he must probably have to go and sell some property to give the inheritance to the sons. So it's not a big, it's not a small thing. It's a big thing. Let's go on. Verse 13. Are you still with me? I hope you are. Verse 13. Not many days later, the youngest son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Just by the way, I once had the opportunity to work in a pig den on a TMT outreach. And that is something I never want to do in my life again. Specifically, if they have running stomachs, and it rained, and no one cleaned their cages for the weekend, and they said, you're in Monday, that is quite a horrible sight. I am scarred still today after that experience. They actually, for that week, accidentally booked us into a rehab that week because there was no signal. So when we arrived there, we're an outreach team. We're here to reach out. And then they said, the guy leading the outreach said, hey, it's so cool that you guys came all the way just to experience what these guys are experiencing. We're booking you in. And we had to go through the whole process for that whole week. So that's why I cleaned a pig cage. So then just so by the way, you are lucky. Okay. So, just so by the way. Okay. So he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So I can imagine this scene. The son sitting here, he's realizing he came to his senses. He realized, you know, I don't want to be here. This is not fun. This is not what I was created for. You know, the servants in my father's house, they have a better life than I have at the moment. I can imagine him practicing this, you know, speech. I need to go back to my father, and I'm gonna say the following, you know, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Like, you know, practicing. I can see it. I can see it play off. Now, interesting, a hired servant. I always wondered what do they mean with, you know, you want to become a hired servant. Now, for a son like that to return into the community, to return back to where he came from, there was some sort of restitution required. He had to pay up and pay back. So his plan was, I want to go and say, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore, but I want to rent myself out as a hired servant so that I can get the money to pay you back. I want to work my way back into the family. I want to work my way back into favor. I want to give back that which I have taken. That was his idea. The son wanted to do that. it's actually clear that the son didn't see himself as a son anymore at that point. His heart was disconnected. He was isolated. He was alone. And he had no sense of family. I want to go on to verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. The day arrived. He practiced his speech. He's going to go back to the father. He's going to say what he practiced. And let's see what happens. And he arose and came to his father. And this was probably, for me, one of the most beautiful pieces to my heart in the Bible. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. You know, I would have been fine with his father saw him, point. But it goes on. And his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I want to quickly stop there. I want us to see the following. Now, for a father to run in that culture was quite a complicated thing. I don't know if there's any fathers and you're still wearing robes at home. So far that I could gather, it was quite I know Mike does wear a white robe at home. But it was quite a complicated process. It's not like so far as I actually understand, one of the commentators said it's quite a heavy, heavy thing to put on. It wasn't like but more than that, if you want to run, it wasn't like when we go for a run, you just jog. You know, he had to pull up and run. Now, Mike, have you ever been in that position? it was quite a humiliating thing to do. It wasn't normal. Fathers didn't run in that culture, in that community. To do that, actually, it's telling us something. Now, I want to say, I can see this playing off. This son is coming back. Imagine the community sitting and seeing this picture playing off, that community. Here the sun is coming. Everyone's looking at the sun. It's like, who's that? Oh, it's Jonathan. He's coming back. And the father sees the son when he was still far off, and the father starts running. Again, remember, not a normal thing, and he runs. It's like this, the attention went from the son suddenly to the father. It's almost like the father made himself nothing, so that he can go to his son. And if you read on, it says actually the father gave him a robe. It's almost like the father got there and covered him. Such a beautiful picture of what Jesus did for us. Amen? Humiliated himself. I want to read on verse 22, and this is actually where I want to, use my title, Sean. verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. And they began to celebrate. Now, I want this morning just to stand still here for a moment, because there's three things that the father gave the son. And it's the robe, the ring, and the sandals. And those three things represent three different things. And this morning, I want us to listen and hear, not just hear, but to listen. Allow these things even to wash over your heart and see the goodness of God. See it this morning. The first thing is he gave a robe. Now, he said to his servants, get the very best robe. Now, in that time, the very best robe was probably the father's robe. He gave his best to his son. it's almost like this son, I can see, he's saying his speech, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father's like, oh, no. Let's stop there. Bring the robe. And they put it around him. Now remember, he was in a pig's den. When I was working in a pig's den, I had to go and shower afterwards. You know, I was filthy to myself. Like, I've never been in a position where I didn't want to be with myself. So complicated picture. I don't want to be with me now. The worst thing was to clean Frikkie's cage, and then the next evening, everyone's saying, Frikkie tastes nice. That was the worst experience. Okay. I lost a friend there. But I'm still scarred, sorry. But he brought this robe, and he puts the best robe, the father's robe, around this son that is filthy. He has filthy rags. He definitely doesn't look like he's belonging to that family. The father takes a robe, places around the son, and I believe restoring him back into family. Restoring him back into family. Isn't it beautiful? Oh, it's such a beautiful picture to me. It's like the father was saying to him, you cannot pay off your debt. You cannot give enough restitution, like pay back, give what you owe us. And, you know, you don't have that. You don't have that ability to do that. There's only one person that can bring you back into family. There's only one person that can pull you back into this position, and that's the Father. It reminded me of 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. It's not on the screen, but I'm quickly going to read to you. For our sake, he, Jesus, made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. How beautiful. It's such a beautiful exchange. His righteousness for our sin. It's like, to be honest, saying it almost sounds too good to be true. You know, saying it is almost like, what? Why? It doesn't make sense. The robe, restoring us back into family. The ring. Well, the ring refers to two things I want to quickly say. And that time, the kings in the ancient age, they had a signet ring. It's like a ring with a type of weapon, like a sign on it. So what they did is they usually would take that ring, they put it in like soft wax, you know. You all know it's soft wax, when the candle burns wax. Put it in there. They would write the letter, and they would take that ring, you know, and put it on the letter, almost to say, this is an official document, okay? This is an official document. This is the king. Now, what happened in that time is these rings would sometimes be given to people in the kingdom, so then when a letter is written, and that person can also use the ring, put it on there, and saying, you know, this is an official document, as if the king wrote that letter. And similarly, here the father gives the ring to the son. It speaks about delegated authority. It speaks about, you represent me. How beautiful is that? Son comes back. He has a sorrowful heart. He says, I am sorry. I'm sorry I left. The father responds by giving him a robe, giving him a ring, saying, you belong to me. This is the place where you belong. You've been created to be here. You're my son. You represent me. A son always represents a father. So beautiful. Like we sometimes, was it yesterday or somewhere, we were on Facebook. We were we also Facebook. And saw a picture of someone in Just Gen with their sons. And the sons looked almost like the fitting image of the father. Like I was like, yo, and Ingrid was also like, what? You know, they look like one another. And it's a thing of life. The son always represents the father, not just physically, but also in some of the characteristics. Also the mother, but you just hear what I'm saying, okay? Okay. The ring speaks of ownership. It speaks of delegated authority. And then the sandals. Now, sandals in that time, if you were walking bare feet, you were a servant, you were a slave. And the son, and I remember that picture in the Russian Museum of the prodigal son is where the son is on his knees. He's in the father's arms. And it's like his one foot is in the sandal, but it's also not. It's like almost out of the sandal, you know. It's like the foot is unsure where it needs to be. And I can imagine going through that whole journey, you lost everything. It was probably that son came there bare feet, almost representing being a slave, representing being a servant. And here the father is standing, giving him sandals, which was a sign of sonship. It was a sign of, you are my son. You are my son. You are my son. I want to just mention this. This morning, I'm not sharing these three things to tell you how special you are. I'm saying these three things actually came from someone. The robe, the ring, and the sandals, yes, it does obviously affect us. But the robe, the ring, and the sandals, oh, it comes from a good God. It comes from a gracious God. It comes from a God that's filled with mercy. Yes, he is the righteous judge. Oh, but praise the Lord for Jesus. You know, like, he's a good God. And these things testify of his heart towards us. Amen? All is so silent. The last thing they did is they did a braai, you know, celebration braai, which for us is a normal thing. And that time, if you had to take a calf like that and just put it up, it was quite an expensive thing. Today also still for some of us. It is an expensive thing, but it was a sign of celebration. And usually in that time, doing that, it was just for special occasions. And number two, it wasn't just a family affair. It wasn't just the three of them standing around the braai. You're like, oh, you know, whatever. It was a community celebration. Everyone in the community would come. It wasn't that time they were so focused to have a community living, you know, living together type of atmosphere. So we quickly read about the younger son, and I want to end off by looking at another son that's also in the picture, and that's the older son. Now remember the two people we spoke about that Jesus spoke to. It was sinners, tax collectors, and the Pharisees. Now the sinners and tax collectors are those that they were far off from God. But then Jesus was speaking to another group of people, the Pharisees. And I believe he used this picture of the older son to speak to them. And we're going to quickly look at that. Verse 25. Okay. Everyone's still with me. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. It's important to see the older brother disagreed with the father's action. He said, look, the younger son went away. He used prostitutes. He did all this. He had reckless living. And now coming back, you give him the celebration? I don't know if you've noticed, but the older brother actually refused to enter the celebration. He said, I'm not going to go in. And then who came out? Who came out? Who came out? No, who came out? It's interesting, in both cases, who's the one that came out? It's the father. The father was the one that ran, and the father's the one that came out. And to be honest, in that culture, if the father was at a celebration, he was hosting it, for the son to say, I'm not going to go in, and the father had to go to the son, is also a sign of disrespect. And then, on top of that, this older brother speaks to his father like this. Look, These many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. I don't know if there are any fathers in the house. If your son comes to you and say, look, you would say, look back to your room. It was a sign of disrespect. And again, the father had the right to say there, you will not speak to me in this way. But look how he responds. I'm going to read it again. And he said to him, son, you are always with me. And all that is mine is yours. For some of us, this is not the time to tell, you know, what I always had. Like, now it's the time to discipline, you know. Like, send the son away. It's almost like he asks his son, I want you to partake in this, what just happened here. I don't want you to stay outside. You know, some of us, you maybe with the younger brother, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm so glad. Yes, it's not me. I'm not there far off. But some of us sitting here, you've maybe been walking with the Lord. But maybe looking at the older brother, the older son, maybe you're sitting with a disconnected heart, just as the older brother was sitting with. You know, this was a similarity between the younger brother and the older brother. Both of them had a disconnected heart. Both of them had a disconnected heart. And I'm telling you this morning, is it's so easy that we can do the right things. It is easy to give your tithe. It is easy to do all, you know, church things, to come and serve and all these things. But doing all those things doesn't automatically give you a connected heart. It's because of Jesus, number one, that we can enter in and have a connected heart. But do you know what? You have the responsibility to sit with the Lord. No one in this setup can force you to sit with the Lord. Church is a place where we come together with connected hearts. And from this place, we pour our praise. We pour our songs. We come together. We hear what God is speaking to us as a church family. But this is not supposed to be the place to beg you to have a connected heart. Although, just hear me. That's not an idealistic picture. But I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you feel like the youngest son. Maybe you're far off. Ingrid. Maybe you feel far off. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and we go through all these pictures of the youngest son and the oldest son, and there's something in you that you just know you are actually disconnected. And it can be many things. It can be because of sin. It can be because of desire that is not necessarily desiring the Lord, you know, desire of other things. It can be that you try and fill this hole in your heart for intimacy with the Father, with other things. I was only 13 years old when I cried out to God and said, reveal yourself to me as a Father. But I'm telling you, before that age, although I was in primary school, I tried to fulfill that desire in my heart with many other things. And this morning, there's a call for you. If you can relate with the youngest son, there's a call for you not to stay far off. I'm actually saying that one characteristic that is so clear from this story is that God fights for us. He's the one that runs. He's the one that comes outside. I'm not saying through this you can just sit, you know, he's going to come and get you. No. If we sometimes can see that he fights for us, I'm telling you, I want to run to that. I don't want to sit and be like, come and fight for me. I want to run to that. I love it that the Bible says that he first loved us. Before you could think of loving him back, he first loved you. It makes it easier to love him. Yeah? It does. It empowers us to love. Similarly, he runs to you. It must empower you to run back. So if you're a younger son and you feel far off, I want to tell you, God wants to connect with your heart this morning. But maybe you're on the other side. Maybe you can relate to the older brother, the older son this morning. You're doing all the church things. You're in the setup. You're going to community. Maybe, you know, you look like you maybe have, you know, this connection constantly. But there is seasons that we go through sometimes and we feel disconnected. We look at other people's victories and we struggle to celebrate. Someone else gets promoted to leadership and your heart is like, that could have been me. You maybe sit with insecurities and things that you haven't realigned yet to that truth that is in the Father's heart for each one of us. And this morning, He's calling you to get connected. He's calling you to get connected. And I'm asking you, do not be a tourist this morning. Don't take pictures with your mind and say, ah, cute. I know some of us, we may be thinking of, you know, what we're going to do after the service and our plans and all those things. But I'm telling you, if we respond to Him, because He is responding towards us this morning, I know there will be breakthrough for hearts. I'm sure of this very thing, that God desires this morning to meet with us. But are you going to position yourself to do that? That son had to decide to come back and say sorry. He didn't stay there in the pig den. He had to come to his senses. And this morning, the invitation is there. So can we quickly close our eyes? Jesus, 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 Jesus. Well, I thank you for a word that says that he who knew no sin became sin. Lord, you became sin for us so that we can be in right standing with the Father. Lord Jesus, you took our place so that we can walk in fellowship with you, Jesus. Father, you did everything. You fought for our hearts even before we can think of coming to you. And this morning, we want to respond. We want to respond and say, Jesus, worthy Father, we want to come. So I specifically felt to pray for three groups this morning. First group, if you know in your heart, even as I spoke about the younger son this morning, you are far off from God. You just turned your back on him and you tried to fulfill this hole in your heart with other things and try and satisfy this longing with other things, the Lord this morning is calling out to you. You don't have to be right before you come to God. That's the religion tells us that. You need to fix yourself and then come. With your brokenness, you need to come. God loves brokenness. He loves brokenness. Loves authenticity. He loves it when we come before Him just like we are. Doesn't leave us that way. But He loves it when we come in that way. And this morning, if you're far off, maybe you've never decided to even give your heart to Jesus. You've never made the choice to actually turn back to the Father. You've never in your heart thought that He is actually fighting for me. And I can come this morning. God wants to meet you. Like He really wants to meet you this morning. Now, I want to ask you, if you feel like that first younger brother, younger son, can you just stand up where you are? If you feel like that, just stand up where you are. If there's any, if you never made a choice to follow Jesus in your life before, even turn back to Him. And then the second group of people. I'm thinking there's some of us that need to respond in this category. You've, as I said, you've done all the right things and you're in family and you're in common, you're in church and you're all these things, but your heart is just disconnected. Maybe you've went through a season where just, you know, discouragement overtook your heart. Or you went through a season where sin came in, or you went through a season where unforgiveness came in, or whatever it may be. It can, there's so many things and can cause a disconnected heart. But the important thing is that we don't stay there. So if your older brother, like you feel like you can relate with what I said there, can I also invite you to stand up with me? Yeah, I know there is people that need to stand. If you know, like that, you're in a season, your heart just feels disconnected from God. I want to invite you just to. Just going to give one more minute. Just think about it. It's so beautiful. The father responded towards the older son and he said, I was always with you. You were always with me. All that I have belongs to you. Maybe there was a specific lie that you cling to, that you believed, that actually caused your heart to be disconnected. So I want to pray over this group. If you're standing, I ask you just to open your hands, just in front of you, almost as a sign of just surrendering to Him. So God, I speak over them, Lord, that You will come and just, Holy Spirit, reveal the desire, Lord, God, in Your heart to be close to them in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord, that whatever the thing is in their hearts that hinder love, would You come and address that. Father, I pray for any lie of rejection in any heart that says that You're not worth it, we break that thing in Jesus' name. Father, if there's any lie in a heart that says that it's impossible for You to measure up, we break that thing in Jesus' name. Father, if there's any lie in their hearts that say that God doesn't want you, I break that thing off in Jesus' name. Father, I speak over them, God, the acceptance in You, Lord. I thank You, God, that You are the one that came out. You are the one that came out. You are the one that came out, Jesus. You are the one that fought for their hearts. And I speak it over them, Lord. Would You come and touch their hearts? I speak, Holy Spirit, for a fresh outpouring of the love of the Father in their hearts. Romans 5 verse 5 says it's the Holy Spirit that pours the love of the Father into our hearts. And I pray just for a fresh outpouring in their hearts in Jesus' name. I pray for forgiveness to reign in their hearts. Forgiveness to reign in your heart. I felt this even some of you that's standing in this unforgiveness maybe towards specifically a father figure in your life. Father, I pray for the grace to be released. The grace to release, to forgive, and to speak forgiveness in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Holy Spirit. And I pray, just lastly, God, I pray. Oh Lord. That they will see that You've always been with them. That You've always been with them. That You've always been with them in Jesus' name. That You've always been with them in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray for all of us, God. May every heart see that You've always been with us. You've always been with us. Father, You've always been close. Lord, I come against, even over us as a congregation and those that are standing, but even over us as a congregation, any distractions that we allow to overtake our hearts, Lord, anything, God, that it's not worthy of our attention and our affection, Jesus, that's not worthy, Lord, I pray, would You bring us back to the first thing? Would You bring us back to our first love? Would You bring us back? Just bring us back, God. Oh, Lord, restore, revive, in Jesus' name. God, and bring us back to this simple truth. Sorry, I just want to end with this. Establish the love of God in our hearts. You love us. Yes, we don't always deserve it, God. Yes, we're not perfect. Yes, we know those things. But I thank You that somehow You still love us. Oh, You love us. You love us. You love us. You love us. You love us, Jesus. You love us. You love us. And the last thing I felt to pray for, and those that are standing, you can keep on standing. I felt like this specifically, those of you that responded now, just to keep pressing in with the Lord. But I felt just almost like the Lord, Romans 5 is 5, you know, it's the Holy Spirit pouring out the love of God into our hearts, but there's almost like a fresh outpouring of His love that He wants to pour out on us this morning. So can I invite everyone just to stand up? Oh Lord, Father, I release over every heart a grace to receive the love that You have for us, Jesus. You first loved us, God. You first loved us. You first loved us. You first loved us, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would You reveal love to us? Would You reveal Jesus to us, God? I thank You that love is a man this morning. Father, I thank You, You're inviting us. You're calling each one of us, Lord, to come into love. I thank You, this is the place where we are transformed. This is the place where You're changing us. This is the place where You form us into the image of Your Son. Lord, I mentioned it now for the group that stood up, but I do believe there's some of you that you have a type of, you did have a bad experience with a father figure. I actually feel there's more of you this morning. And God wants to come and restore the picture of a father this morning. You know, there's some of us, we receive deliverance in certain areas, but we don't always receive the comfort of the Lord in those areas. There's some of you, you've been delivered from some of these wounds, but you actually need to receive the comfort of God in those places. And I release the comfort of God into those areas. God, would You come and hold us? Would You come and love on us? Jesus. Oh Lord, I release it over every heart in this place. Break off anything that hinders love, any lie, break it off in Jesus' name. Spirit of rejection, You're not welcome in this place. Any fear of intimacy, God, we come against that. Fear of intimacy, You're scared to open up. We come against that thing, Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that You would come and break off walls in Jesus' name, that there will be openness in our hearts. We come, Lord. You speak freedom over hearts. We want to know You, God. Would You place that hunger in us to know You, Jesus? Fear of failure. Fear of disappointment. You're not welcome. Lord, come fill us with Your love. It's Your perfect love that casts out all fear. Would You realign us in Jesus' name? Realign us in Jesus' name. Realign us in Jesus' name. There's this chorus that I remember even as a student singing, and I had times on that chorus where I just felt the love of God just fall into my heart. And I want to just, maybe if we can respond with that chorus, You love like a father. And I want you to open up your heart. Just open up your heart. You love like a father. You love like a brother. You love like a lion, fierce like no other. You violently chase me down to embrace me, engulf me in who You are. Just receive. You love like a father. Oh, You love like a father. You love like a brother. You love like a lion, fierce like no other. You violently chase me down to embrace me, engulf me and who You are. Let's just sing that again. You love, oh, You love like a father. Love like a brother. You love like a lion, fierce like no other. You violently chase me down to embrace me, engulf me in who you are. Let's just sing it out, every voice. Oh, you love like a father. You love like a brother. You love like a lion, fierce like no other. You violently chase me down to embrace me, engulf me in who you are. Just the voices, let's sing it out, just the voices. Oh, you love like a father. You love like a lion, fierce like no other. You violently chase me down to embrace me, engulf me in who you are. Just one more time, every voice, just one more time. Oh, you love like a, lift your voice, sing it out. Oh, you love like a brother. Oh, you love like a lion, fierce like no other. You violently chase me down to embrace me, engulf me in who you are. Let's end off one more time. Let's sing it out. Oh, you love. Oh, you love. Oh, you love like a lion, fierce like no other. You violently chase me down to embrace me, engulf me in who you are. So Father, I pray, and I end off with this. Spirit, Father, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you didn't give us a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But you've given us the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba Father, Abba Father, Abba Father. I pray for hunger in our hearts to seek your heart, Jesus. I thank you that you're faithful in revealing yourself to us. And I speak, even throughout this week, that you will come and reveal the love of God to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
I think, you know, I think these are things that our culture, like the older brother, we work hard and we try hard and we forget that we don't have to somehow earn the love of God. We receive, and just so many things, I think we're so messed up, you know. As Skulk said, 90% of even young people, if he had counseled, that are struggling with a lack of a father figure. And even if you're a good father, we don't measure up to the Heavenly Father. We need so much of just to see the truth and keep fighting and contending for truth. And we'd be a family that keeps just fighting, in a sense, for contending for the truths that of the gospel, to remind ourselves who we are in him, to remind ourselves of the love of God. So Skulk, well done. It was a wonderful morning. It was just a time, I think there was a thread throughout the morning. God, and I encourage you to go back, even ask yourself the question this week, Lord, is there anything in me that you're wanting to change, even on my relationship with my father? Is there anything? Don't just go away. Ask yourself these questions. Take it through in the week, chew over it. Lord, even in my real father, if you have one, is there anything that you would want me to go and work on in my relationship with him? Is there this week, Father, in the way I see you, that I haven't been seeing you right because of my relationship with my earthly father? Is there something that you want to, maybe you've been a believer for 40 years here, or 30 years. I've been a Christian for 28 years, and this morning there were things that I felt like, I've fallen back into, that actually I need to be reminded of, because I feel like at times I'm like the older brother. We have to keep contending for these things.